Powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Great to have your company wherever you're listening. Don't forget you jump on the line anytime you like. 1-300-736-736 is the number. 1-300-736-736. Got to have a little catch-up for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont's. They're here to help get your reno done. Their stores are open at Beaumont's, and you can check them out online. Matt Keenan, the voice of cycling, is about to join me in a matter of seconds. And we'll head back to your calls and talk to Mitch McCarron a little bit later on about the world of basketball. Melbourne United star who has re-signed. But Matty Keenan's on the line. Welcome to you, Matty. Great to have you on again.
Yeah, thanks, Dwayne. Good to be back.
Have you had the bike out?
I haven't had it out on the road other than going out for a bike ride with the kids, which I've been doing about 3 or 4 days a week. And I've been continuing with my momentum on Zwift. I have not missed a day since I first spoke to you on about the 23rd of March. I've been at least 45 minutes per day on the bike in the garage, aiming for around about an hour, but a couple of shorter days at 45 minutes. And I've really enjoyed it. It's been great.
And are you doing it with others? And do you get to pick which course or which mountain? Or do you just go with whatever mountain is the mountain of the day?
It's been a bit of a variation. One of the rides that I have done has been on a Friday morning. It's been organised by Graham Brown, who won 2 gold medals at the Olympic Games in Athens in 2004. So he's in Perth. He's got a coaching business. He's roped in a bunch of ex-Australian athletes that he raced with. One of them is Stuart O'Grady, who he won a gold medal with in Athens. Another one is Anna Mears. They're both in Adelaide. He's got Tim O'Shaughnessy down in Launceston in Tasmania. He's got Dave Watts, the rower, in Canberra. He's got a few other cyclists scattered around Australia. Sam Welsford, world champion on the track, he's in Perth. So we're riding on Zwift, and we're following each other and a bunch of guys that Graham coaches. They're on Zwift as well. In addition to that, we're all on Zoom and having a chat, and Graham's kind of coordinating it and virtually interviewing everybody as the people that he coaches. They get a chance to hear from some of the best of Australian cycling as they're flogging themselves to death at 165 beats a minute.
So do some of the people in the cycle get together, take off, or do you all take your turns on the front? Do you ever clip wheels and go over? How does that all work?
Thankfully not. No, thankfully not. But there's this there's part of the program, there's this non-drop program where the computer will give you a slingshot and help you catch up. So I've enjoyed a couple of rides that I've done with a few of those former greats of the sport where as long as you keep pedaling, the computer will help you catch up. So you can win as many world titles as you like. But when we're on that ride, Dwayne, you can't drop me.
Yeah, I need that around Kennet River when I'm riding the Great Ocean Road. Just something to get me back to Lawn.
Yeah, it's normally a tail wind from Kennet River back to Lawn, 9 times out of 10 at least.
Yeah, depends on whether you go which way around you go through Dean's Marsh up that huge hill to try and the heartbreak.
Get that out of the way early. Out of the way early with fresh legs. Come on, Dwayne, please.
Matty, it's not far away. You'll be warming up the tonsils again, I hear.
Yeah, but I'm not sure I'll be warming up the passport because we can't travel at this stage. But when we last spoke, the Tour de France had announced that its dates were going to be from the 29th of August to the 20th of September. And when we spoke, I was a little pessimistic. And last night when I went to bed, I was still pessimistic. But this morning I've woken up and the UCI, the governing sport for cycling, they've released the calendar for the men and the women for the remainder of the year, with it all kicking off in Italy, right in the heart of where it was at its worst with the coronavirus in Europe, on the 1st of August. And I don't know of anything that's changed in Europe in the last 24 hours, but somehow I'm more optimistic because of this calendar that's been released. It looks like there's been a fair bit of thought put into it. They are all on the ground in Europe, the people that have put this together. I'm assuming they've consulted with the governments and the health authorities over there to be able to put this thing together. I'm also making the assumption that a lot of the races throughout August will be done effectively behind closed doors without any spectators, because the French government in particular, they've made an announcement about no gatherings more than a couple of hundred people until at least September. The Dutch have done the same as well. But the good news is they're having to go at trying to get racing back on the road.
And do you think they'll get buy-in from all the cyclists, or will there be some teams and some cyclists that say no?
They'll want to do it. Absolutely, they'll want to do it. The riders definitely want to do it. And how they go about managing their roster is going to be really difficult, because they're cramming a lot of racing into around about a 70-odd day period. So there's a lot of big races that actually overlap. For example, the biggest one-day race, or one of the biggest one-day races in Belgium, the oldest one-day race, that's on Sunday the 3rd of October. But the Giro d'Italia starts on Saturday the 3rd of October. So a team like Mitchelton Scott from Australia, they're going to be sending, you know, one set of riders to Italy and one set of riders to Belgium. And it's about balancing which riders go where and who can perform the best in which region. The other interesting thing coming out of it is there's a race in October in China, the Tour of Guangxi. There's also a women's race in China in October as well, the Tour of Chongming Island. I don't know what the situation is in China at the moment and what nationalities are going to be allowing their athletes to travel to those parts of the world. And while we're at it with travel, big announcement for the women is that Paris-Roubaix is being introduced for the first time. This is a race that I love, Dwayne. Across the cobblestones, we saw Matt Heyman win this in 2016. Brilliant win as an Aussie, and I was biased in the commentary box on that day. We've got an Aussie up in Queensland, Brodie Chapman, who I think can potentially win that race. But she's in Australia, and our travel restrictions at the moment say that she can't go to France. I hope that she gets the green light to be able to go over there and ride that race, because she's a potential candidate to win it. So although the calendar has been released, there's still a whole bunch of question marks that need to be answered.
Could it be actually better for you in some ways, Matt, that you can't go but you can commentate from here, because you and Robbie McEwen do a great job, but you do spend a lot of time away from home?
Oh, that's a massive upside. I got married in 2006, and that's the last time I spent the full year with my wife. So after 1 year of marriage, she figured that's enough. You start travelling, off you go. So this will be my first winter in Australia, in Melbourne, since 2006. That's going to be a shock to the system. But the upside of it is, as you mentioned, the lack of travel will be good. So normally I'm doing four flights back and forward to Europe. That takes its toll in terms of the time away from your kids and so on, and dealing with the jet lag, etc. My kids have never had me at home for Father's Day or a lot of their significant occasions that are in the middle of the year. So that'll be a real upside. You'll lose a little bit, as you know, commentating off the tube from a studio versus being at the venue, but it's not a perfect world in 2020. We'll take what we can get. And I love the idea of being able to call these races from Australia.
And the situation that you're normally in is you can sometimes call from a van and only have a slight glimpse of the cyclist near the finish line anyway. So you're calling, you know, 99.9% of the race, even though you're at that particular leg or at that particular finish line, you're calling it off the tube anyway.
Yeah, exactly. If you're calling the basketball, you get more of a vibe because you're there and you can feel it. The same as if I'm at a velodrome, you get more of a sense of what's going on than just watching the screen. But there's been occasions where we've been at the top of a mountain in the Alps or the Pyrenees, and the sun's been glaring in, which takes away from your vision on the TV monitor. So we pull the curtain down anyway, and you can't see outside. So you could be in a box anywhere in the world. So we're not going to lose a lot. The main thing that we lose is the ability to talk to other people that are on the ground, and that might be other journalists, commentators from other nationalities, bump into other teams that are in hotels and so on. But I think all that is going to be completely different anyway in 2020. And a lot of the TV networks will be doing their commentary remotely, so we wouldn't get that interaction as it is. So I don't think we're going to lose a lot by commentating from Australia rather than on the ground in Europe.
And is there any Australian events on that calendar that we can still lock in or hopefully lock in?
No, because the start of the Australian summer will be in January. And at the moment, there's no changes there in terms of what will happen with events like the Australian Championships or with the Tour Down Under, the Cat 11's Great Ocean Road Race or the Jayco Herald Sun Tour. At the moment, they're on the calendar where they've always been. And we hope we're in the position to have them go ahead as they normally would happen. And depending on what happens for the rest of this year, I can imagine the anticipation, particularly for Australian cycling fans, for the start of those big races and being able to get roadside and hang out with their friends and enjoy the sport that they love, it's going to be a huge occasion at the start of next year.
You mentioned Zwift. Will there be an unfair advantage for the cyclists in countries who can train on the road and actually get their real kilometres in as opposed to those that are from countries that can't?
Definitely. There will be a significant advantage because as good as it is training indoors, it's harder to get the time in the saddle. And an hour on the indoor trainer feels like emotionally 2 hours outdoors. And there's something about that real feel being outdoors. Anybody that's run on a treadmill, and I've seen you doing the broadcast of this show, Dwayne, on the treadmill, it's not the same on the treadmill as what it is outdoors. So it's really good, but it's not quite the same. So there will be an advantage. There's another guy that comes into the mix in this scenario with the race being pushed back by more than a month for the start date is Chris Froome. Chris Froome's now 34, 35 years of age. So he's getting late in his career and a prospect to win the Tour for a fifth time and join the greats as a five-time winner. But he broke his femur, so he broke his leg, the biggest bone in your body, in June of last year. This extra little bit of time to prepare gives him a better chance to win the Tour de France this year. But if the Tour doesn't go ahead next year, and then we're talking about Chris Froome as a 36-year-old, and no one's won the Tour de France at the age of 36 after the First World War, the odds of him doing that are really, really slim. So this might be Chris Froome's last window of opportunity to win the Tour for a fifth time. So if anybody wants the Tour to go ahead, it is absolutely Chris Froome.
And is there a chance that teams could wrap their team around a guy who doesn't have the right prep and somebody else could just come out of the woodwork and be that team's guy? Is there a chance for something crazy to happen because of the real difference in the preparation spectrum?
Yeah, and the motivation. So there's going to be some people at the moment who are a little bit in the wilderness. They're finding it difficult to stay motivated and they fall ever so slightly behind where their competition is. And there'll be other guys out there and other women that are getting ready for the season to resume that their motivation is through the roof anyway. They're ready to go. So they're going to be slightly ahead of the eight ball. So we will get a couple of surprises. There'll be a few people that pop up that will say, didn't expect that. But they've been the ones that have been the real self-motivators that have been able to keep going even when the chips are down for the whole cycling community. This period for every athlete on the planet, for every person on the planet, has been a real test of that self-motivation to keep yourself going. And that's where, for everybody, routine is proving to be really, really important. Because one of the old coaches of the Victorian Institute of Sport, Dave Sanders, has always said, one of the hardest things to do is get your socks on in the morning. Once you've got your socks on, the momentum's up and you're just about out the door. But you've just got to get yourself going in the morning. And there's going to be some that have found that part of the day really tough. And they won't be doing those little one percenters that don't require talent. Somebody else is doing that.
And last one, Matty, where are the majority of the Australian, you know, major cyclists? Are they around the world? Where's Richie Porte? Where are all of our guys being housed at the moment to get through this?
Richie's in Monaco because Richie gets paid a lot. So Richie's in Monaco, and he's been there for quite a while, up his luck. It's a long way from Launceston, Dwayne, to Monaco.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
A lot of them are in Andorra. So they're in the north of Spain, in Girona, just up past Barcelona. But there's a huge chunk of them in Andorra, a few in Monaco, a couple in Italy, a little smattering in Switzerland. Amanda Spratt, for example, she is normally in Italy, that she ducked across the border into Switzerland so she could still train on the road. But a lot of them in Andorra and the north of Spain.
Great to have a chat to you, Matt. I'll let you get back to the house. You still got the kids at home?
Oh, homeschooling's going great, Dwayne. The principal is firmly in charge. I have been demoted to janitor and PE teacher.
I'll enjoy the latter. I know PE teacher part of it. Surely it's lunchtime. You've got to get out there shortly.
Oh, yeah, no, we've been out and about. We've had a little bit of mini tennis in the driveway. I've been for a walk this morning. We've been on the trampoline as well. The PE's going fine. Just don't ask me to help with the grade 5 maths. I'm okay with my son in grade 2, but my daughter's got me covered in grade 5.
You sound like you're liking it way too much, Matty. We'll talk again next week. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
The voice of cycling around the world. The great Matt Keenan for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont's. They're here to help get your reno done. Great to have Beaumont Tiles on board. And speaking about Beaumont Tiles and do-it-yourself jobs around the house, we do have a makeover project to get excited about. Our friends at Beaumont Tiles have come on board and giving away two bathroom makeovers valued at $10,000 each. All you have to do is head to iCanWin.com.au, unload a picture of your ugly bathroom that needs a makeover, and you can tell us what your Beaumont's style is, and you'll be in the running to win one of those two $10,000 bathroom makeovers thanks to Beaumont Tiles. Dwayne's World also for Robot Building Supplies. They've got it and they deliver at Robot Building Supplies, robotbuildingsupplies.com.au, and we're powered by Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. Straight back to your calls after the break. 1300 736 736, and we'll read out a few of your speckled texts as well. Plenty still to come.